Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is January 12th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. You know, I had a really busy day. Was just churning stuff out. Was a busy bee on my end. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm fantastic. It's week two here on the PGA Tour. Real winter has visited Maryland. I don't know if it's real winter by your standards. It is by my standard now. It's like 20, dipping below 20, wind chills in the teens. So winter is upon us. I was getting worried that it didn't get cold anywhere anymore. I'm hearing about, you know, people playing golf in December up in the Midwest and Ohio and Maryland, but now it's cold. It's officially cold season. And it looks like that Bills game is going to be 1 degree on Saturday night for Bills Pats. Just the freeze has come. Speaking of
good. The cold
NFL. Is it cold in Chicago? I assume it is.
It's been awful. I gotta get out. It's time. I gotta flee. I gotta flee again.
Millennial.
Fleeing's the way to go. I think I gotta flee. I gotta figure out where I'm fleeing to, and I need to get out.
Well, that's good. It's always good to get some weather talk up here. A small chat like me in the pickup line at school. Weather talk. But. I mean, the hearts should be warmed a little bit there, right? With the cleaning house at whatever. I mean, what's the name? Hallis Hall? Is that the name of it?
Kind of a fancy.
Why do they call it Hallis Hall? That's a little
George
fancy.
George Hallis?
I know, but is it like, they make it sound like it's this gothic piece of architecture on some college
what
campus.
What else were you going to call it?
Isn't it an office park in Lake Forest or something like that up north? Hallis
Hall? I've
never
driven by it, you know, but I don't know. You always hear about what's going on in Hallis Hall, but you never see pictures of Hallis Hall. This is a good question. You know,
I thought it was just like another building in an office park off the highway.
My dad works like in a building right by Hallis Hall. But I've never, you know, been to Hallis Hall.
Maybe they're just looking for the alliteration, but Hall just connotes something more grand and sort of classic architecturally. But they had a lot of turnover. You and the Vikings, GM and coach, both gone in the same day. You've got
unfortunately, we need, if anybody saw the press conference with the McCaskies, we need an entire cleaning of house. I don't know if I have confidence in anything happening good because of what's going on there.
That was not particularly insightful. I mean, you're not answering stuff off the cuff there, right? This is a planned remarks. You got all
I don't know, that Chicago media was like wolves out there. They were all geared up for it.
It was like a Super Bowl thing.
For the Chicago media. They were out there smelling blood with the old Cruz story that came out.
What was that one?
Oh, you didn't hear about this?
No.
Olin Cruz, who for the people center. That aren't football fans, he's all time great Bear center. I mean, Pro Bowler, retired maybe
very outspoken,
six or
rough
seven years ago. Yeah, small guy that was just
outspoken.
A bulldog. Great center. It came out that 2 years ago, the Bears offered him, they wanted him to come help out with the offensive line, like basically whatever players were there. And they offered him $15 an hour.
No.
Dead serious. He told the story on Chicago radio. They offered a guy who just recently retired,
no,
Pro Bowler, $15. Effectively minimum wage.
Oh my God.
To come help out. And he's like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what they had done. And then McCaskey's out there calling Kreutz a liar.
Oh, well, that happened in the press conference as well?
Yeah. It's just utter disaster.
So even the days that are supposed to be like kind of ripping the Band-Aid off, there's just a new wound opens up somewhere else on the bottom.
Well, we've known that we've had this owner. I mean, Chicago sports is just littered with awful ownership. Like, awful. The Reinsdorf. Yeah. Like, Reinsdorf is cheap. I think he bought the Bulls for $10 million. It's worth, like, $3 or $4 billion now. And he's, like, worried about paying the luxury tax when we have, like, title-contending teams. And, I mean, it's that we lead the league in attendance. And it's just, you know, we got that issue. We've got Ricketts, who bought an entire neighborhood of Chicago and is now crying poor. You know, it's just a disaster.
I'm not familiar with that one, but yeah, I'm familiar with the Cubs owner. Right? Or what are you talking about the neighborhood?
He bought the entire neighborhood. He bought all the rooftops. He bought all the bars. He owns everything around Wrigleyville or around Wrigley Field. And now he's crying poor. They can't, operate a big team. It's again, this is the freaking Cubs. They make so much freaking money.
Yeah, they should be competing with the Red Sox, Yankees, and all those teams. Yeah, that's crazy. All right,
And then we got the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks, we don't need to really talk much about the Blackhawks and how their year's been and how ownership and management looks with what happened there a few years ago.
Ironically enough, I've seen video of Matt Fitzpatrick going through swing changes, too. So that's another thing on the Chicago sports. This is a Chicago sports minute. I've seen this on Twitter as we're talking now. He's working through swing changes. So a lot of overhaul in Chicago. But hey, Nagy's gone, right? I mean, at the very least, Pace. What's Pace's? Pace is just, every time I see a picture, I'm like, this guy just doesn't look like he's a good guy. Or he looks like he's just kind of a clown. Anyways, that's judging a book by its cover. I apologize. Let's get off the Chicago Sports Minute.
They're both nice guys, though.
You are? Okay.
Heard they're both nice guys.
That's good. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I hope it works out for you. I'm fascinated by the intra-division race. When you got to do it with the Vikings side by side, another tortured fan base, it feels like. People are just full of self-loathing.
Of all the teams, the NFC North, it's just tortured because one franchise has had remarkable luck with quarterbacks.
Right.
All the other franchises have been effectively in despair for two generations now.
Right.
I mean, the Lions. I think the Lions might be the best, second best situation right now.
Come on.
Serious. Their team was, they were feisty this year.
I guess. Sure. You got to have a quarterback, and they don't have one. All right.
What's going to happen with Baker while we're on football?
It sounds like they're bringing him back. Hopefully he's healthy.
Where do you fall in the camp? Is it an injury issue, or is he Mitch Trubisky?
I mean, it's probably somewhere in the middle. Like, I think he's better. I don't think he's good, but I think he's better than what he showed this year. Now, does that mean he should be brought back? I'm not sure. There's not like a lot of options out there in terms of free agents and draft picks and stuff. I think but then we're going to face the same issue next year. He's going to be maybe slightly better than he was this year because he's healthy, but it's like, do you give him the whole kit and caboodle Josh Allen contract? So I don't know. And meanwhile, we've just stacked our roster the last 2 years, and we've got a playoff win to show for it. I guess he has no excuse. Our line's been good, running backs are good, defense is good, good enough, I should say. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm getting anxious now. People are bitching about Stefanski too much. That Stephon Diggs didn't like his offense. Adam Thielen didn't like his offense. Now Baker and OBJ. Now I'm getting anxious that we're heading towards another potential disruption. But we'll see. All right. Let's get off the non-golf issue. We'll get to our schedule for the week. We have a little bit more meat on the bone this week. It's not just Kapalua. Not a lot, but a little bit more. We are staying in Hawaii. We're going to Wailea over on... Wailea, over on Oahu. I was going to say the Big Island, but that's definitely not accurate. Honolulu, Oahu. This is our schedule for the week is back. Notables. Par 70, 7,044 yards, designed by Seth Rayner. The purse. I can't get over this. Purse is $7.3 million. The winner gets $1.35. It's nuts. It's nuts how much money you get for winning the Sony. The defending champ is Kevin Na. Notables. Matt Jones. Somebody's effing with me. Matt Jones, first notable. Billy Ho, Hideki, Takumi Kanaya, Keita Nakajima, the Asia
number
Pacific.
One. Yeah, yeah, number one ranked one. Amateur in the world. That's one of my three things to watch.
Okay.
Is Nakajima.
Is Jerry Kelly, who also is a notable. Is he one of your three things? Because he follows Nakajima, then Jerry Kelly. Omar Uresti's in the field?
Oh, God.
How did that happen? How did that happen? I don't see him in the field list.
Maybe he got an exemption because the PGA came clapping back at him.
I don't see him in the field list. All right, Omar Uresti, Emiliano Grillo, Ben Coles, Austin Smotherman, and Hayden Buckley. This is primetime late night golf, 7 to 10:30 Eastern, with a finish 6 to 10. On Sunday. This is a good event. It's not quite Kapalua. It doesn't seem like a lot of those guys, there was a trend there for a couple of years where a lot of the heavy hitters who ended up at Kapalua would stay and play Sony. Doesn't seem like that's happened this year. Of course, we had Bryson DeChambeau enter the field for a full, whatever, 48 hours, 72 hours before he WD'd. But it's fine. It's good, again, a good sort of way to re-enter the season for week two, and you know it's late at night when you're 15 degrees where you're sitting. So one of your three things is Nakajima. Is that accurate?
Nakajima, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Number one amateur in the world, and you got Kanaya there, the former number one player.
I mean, Kanaya's in the top 50 in the world rankings.
How did that happen? Just a bunch of Japan tour doing work, right, on the Japan tour,
getting to work.
Okay.
You know? God, that made me think of. My daughter's really into Elmo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damn song. Elmo, the Elmo slide. For anybody that's not a parent.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We do. Yeah. We get it.
The Elmo slide is coming. The Elmo goes, let's get to work. The thing is just burned into my head now. And you just saying work.
Yeah. Well, there's this playlist where Elmo sings like pop songs, like Elmo singing Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Really?
Like, it's the most preposterous shit ever. Like, you say, like, you know, Alexa play kids music or something. And it's like this, Elmo's singing like pop songs. It's ridiculous. So, all right.
Our daughter points at the Alexa. You know, it just goes, yeah. Eh? You're just like, oh, God.
All right. Elsewhere on the schedule for the week, we'll come back to Sony. PGA Tour of Australasia and WPGA of Australasia. This is Thursday through Sunday at Royal Queensland in Brisbane, Australia. There's a mixed event.
Event of the week.
Designed by Michael Clayton. Yeah. Is listed here, 6,500 yards for the women, 7,100 yards for the men. The men get 1 million, the women get 300,000. Defending champ is Adam Scott from 2019. Australian PGA, it's an inaugural event for women. Notables on the men's side, Minwoo Lee, Jeff Ogilvy, Zach Murray, Louis Dobelar, Adam Bland, Elvis Smiley, who's appeared here, Rohan Blizzard, Blake Proverbs, Jediah Morgan, and Cooper Eccleston. On the women, we have the Sarah Zone, Sarah Kemp, Sarah Jane Smith, Sue Oh, Charlotte Thomas, and Elme Viking is a notable on the women's side.
Elme Viking. What
this is
name?
On TV. It's a fantastic name. This is on TV in the United States here, Thursday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9:30 Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, 6:30 to 10 a.m. So you get coffee golf from Australia. It's been like years.
And happy hour golf.
God, it's been years. It's a.m. Not here, at least. It's just 6:30 to 10 here. But I realize it's on, you know, it wraps around. So that's great. I honestly feel like I haven't seen live golf on TV from Australia in 2 or 3 years.
Well,
so
it's
that's
been since before COVID.
Probably
since Royal Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah. That's probably right. So that's a little coffee golf appetizer. And then on the Asian tour, they have the Singapore International. This is in Singapore. Par 72.
No kidding.
Par 72, 7,500 yards, designed by Phil Jacobs. Are you familiar with Phil Jacobs? Purse is $1 million. The defending champ is...
Do you think he's John Jacobs' brother?
Matt Kuchar.
Remember those John Jacobs film VHSs?
Yeah. No, I don't, actually.
He had these, like, a school, like, golf school VHSs.
Yeah. Defending champ is Matt Kuchar. That was back when the Singapore International was a thing. I think it was like one of those agencies who stand this thing up were getting some of their guys to go over. Notables, Jazzy J, Charlie Wee, Stack and Tilt. Charlie Wee's in the field.
Love to see that.
Gavin Green, Thomas the Train, Tom Kim, SSP Charresa.
Wow.
The Battleship.
The Battleship.
This
the
might train, be event of the week train, coming in.
The Battleship.
Jeeve Milka Singh. Richard T. Lee, Roy He, Nicholas Chaim, Honey Basoya, and Barry Henson also in the field. This is a strong ass event. This is on Thursday, midnight to 4 a.m.
On golf
Friday,
channel?
Yes.
No way. Yes.
Friday, 1 to 4 a.m. Middle of the night, and then 2:30 to 6:30 a.m.
We got happy hour golf, party golf, and coffee golf this week. This is a trifecta.
Yeah, and then on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Arguably, we have the best golf schedule that ever has existed here this week.
What, where you could just go from like 6 p.m. Eastern into 9 a.m. the next day?
It's the best times to watch golf.
Morning,
not on
yeah.
the middle, not in not the middle in the of the day.
That's true.
When most true. Golf tournaments are televised.
Corn Ferry Tour is back with the Bahamas Great Eczema. Exuma. People always make fun of my pronunciation. Eczema Classic. This is a Sunday to Wednesday, but it's part of this week's schedule. par 72, 7,000 yards. I don't know why this author wrote this. Designed by Gregory J. Norman. I don't know why that's the full name. Purse is 750,000, 135 to the winner. Defending champ is the Solicitor General from 2020, Tommy Gady. Notables, Taylor Montgomery, Tane Lee, Billy Tom Sargent, Vincent Norman, Daniel Chopra is in the field there, Eric the Asshole Axley, Chris Baker, Marty Dow, the Doughboy, Will's Boy, Ryan McCormick, Saint Moon Bay, Garrett Reband, Charlie Saxon, and Sean Stephanie. This, of course, is not on TV. You got a Sunday to Wednesday event. We got middle of night golf
you
from
Singapore.
And we don't have... The KFT. So, I mean, you got Chopra in the field, you got Billy Tom, and they just don't have any cameras in Great Eczema. So,
man, Eczema, you know, this is the bummer of it all, is that of all the tournaments, I'd say that the one that's got the most explosive potential for, you know, just like can't take your eyes off the TV content is the one that's not being televised.
Gregory J. Norman. You know you can't rely on this, and you can't rely on the live scoring down there, right?
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The whole thing, the suspense, the drama, the unpredictability of the whole thing. It's the whole package down there. You get beautiful scenic views. You get the opportunity. You could see people just get tossed, but you also could see some really great play on a golf course that... You know, tour pro ran out, has numerous tour pros have run out of golf balls on.
That was, wasn't that the story?
Hankini.
Norman Hankini, yeah.
But then, like, the tournament that they had there a few years ago, I think some pros probably had to get balls out of the locker mid-round.
Yeah, yep. So that's next week, middle of the week. Let's double back to the Sony Open. I want to get over
on
their
preferred
lives.
If you click on the Corn Ferry Tour page on the tournament, it's just heaps of Solicitor General content.
Well, they probably haven't done anything for 2 years.
I'm not saying I don't like it.
How many of those make mention of his indiscretions and his run-ins with the police?
None of them.
The
you
Pope
know, the
County's
other thing
finest.
I saw on the first page of PGAtour.com. was, you know, pros, no greens book or make a minimal impact on tour. This through 120 or 38 person event.
40 of you guys.
We can draw these conclusions.
sweeping results.
Nothing to see here. Sweep it under the rug.
All right, let's go back to Sony Open. Did you have three things to watch? Is that a thing you actually want to discuss or no?
I got another thing.
What else?
It's probably going to be a little soft. I think people, the appreciation for the Sony Open's really skyrocketed recently. And I think it's because it's played really firm.
Firm. 17, yeah. 18 coming in there, bouncing off the backboard. It's just thudding off the green and slamming into the walls behind them. Yeah.
So this year, as we remember from the commentary last year, the course is a lot tougher because, you know, you don't have the backboards up. Cam Smith talked about it. He said, you know, you have to think about these shots a little differently without those big backboards out there.
They said it out loud.
Yeah. So it was firm, no backboards last year. It's going to be a different show this year.
Go ahead.
Soft?
Yep. On the ground reporting from Barry Sukumba, who's sending me videos of earlier in the week of rivers running through his home course. He said it's been tough recently. So we want to do over under preferred lies. He says it's you know, the wind, it's dried out in the last few days. We're going to do another over under for preferred lies.
Hey,
ball in hand. Go ahead.
What everybody wants to know is the catnip call of the week. Because you're hot. You're riding a hot streak.
I mean, I did the Georgia Alabama one. I did that in advance. I think I'm 2 for 2. I think I'm 2 for 2 on that. And we're going to have, you know, we're going to be talking. The guys were tweeting all about it, right? The UGA guys.
Everywhere.
Kevin Kisner, Justin Thomas were going back and forth. And I think anytime somebody comes up, you know, I'll try to think of another one. I saw people tweeting the freaking kayaking thing from whatever, 10 years ago, it feels like now, with Smiley. You know, I don't think we'll get that again, but I think it'll be UGA stuff. I'll look into a second catnip call of the week if people are asking for it.
But over under, before I interrupt.
I can't decide. 1.5?
I think it's 0.5.
I think it's got to be 0.5. It really sounds like these last 2 to 3 days from Sukumba, our amateur agronomist on the ground, it has dried out with the wind.
I think the more interesting over under is how many PGA Tour comms announcements we get at 1.5 about the conditions.
Going for the engagement. We are playing it, the ball as it lies today. I'll go 0.5. Are you going over or under?
I'm going under. I think it's a thing of the past here. I'm not falling for the trick here. I'm not going to be an alarmist. I'm going to say it's no preferred lies this week.
We have ESPN Plus back again. Featured groups, as best as I can tell, there are little camera icons next to their name, is the tea time of Abraham Answer, Harris English, and hear ye, Billy Ho, back in the crosshairs of featured groups play on ESPN Plus with their mics, hopefully all the way up like they were last week. The other featured group is Hideki, Kisner, and Webb. A couple poofers and the defending Masters champion. My own featured group, though, I just got to call this one out. I need the ESPN Plus to try and find these guys. Sun Kane, Kevin Tway, and Dirt McGirt. That is a trio of personalities and
eclectic,
edge.
An eclectic trio.
Gaines, Shaggy Kane, and Dirt McGirt. McGirt's in on like a sponsors or major medical, something like that. Do you have a one and done pick? We got to get back to one and done. It's not a tradition unless you maintain and uphold it and continue it. I'm going with Jerry Kelly, who is in the field this week on another sponsor's exemption.
Surprised you turned your back on Tane Lee.
He's in eczema. That was eczema that with Tane Lee was a. Well, if we're doing one and done's for the KFT, I'll go with Tane Lee. But I got to go with Jerry Kelly. I think it would be good to follow him. You know, he's hot. He finished the year hot, I think, on the Champions Tour, Schwab Cup. And this is a place where he just feast, so I can't turn my back on him.
Listen, it's a place that anybody can compete. You know, we know right. This is a ballpark that, you know, distance is slightly mitigated. It's still a huge advantage, but it's not like as big as other places. You know, it really opens up the board for you. You know, some people I was thinking about Billy Ho, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
But
he was okay last week.
I'm thinking more about a guy who takes what a pitcher's given you. A guy that, you know, isn't afraid to take it to the opposite field, bats it around, you know, hits lots of singles, lots
of
doubles.
Work the runners over.
Yeah. Great on base guy, Mark Leishman.
All right.
He's your first baseman that hits for 300, has a great eye, real patient hitter. It's though like five homers a year.
He's playing with Sungjae and Matt Jones. Jerry Kelly is with, how many people do you think are going to follow this group? Ryan Armour, Jerry Kelly, and Scott Gutschewski.
What a great pairing, though. You got your Northeast Ohio boy. You got the Gutschewski, who's, you know.
My new Northeast Ohio boy is Justin Lauer. He's also joining the cabal. We're rooting for Justin Lauer.
Has Kokrak been excommunicated?
I think so. I took him last week for our fake one and done. I think he came DFL, right? So I got the magic touch out of the gate. 38 out of 38. I think I had him last week. Didn't count, fortunately. But we'll go with Jerry Kelly, get back on track. Get back to my principles this week. But yeah,
I mean, I think if you could predict who finishes last 2 weeks in a row, that might be a better accomplishment than two winners in a row.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see the Monday qualifier that Jared Sawada got?
Yeah.
Fifth time.
Is he the guy that quit playing?
Five PGA Tour starts, and this is his fifth, and they've all been the Sony. I mean, that Sony Open Monday is always an interesting deal, right? Like, are these guys
Ted
who are
dreamers? Ted Fujikawa is always in the mix, always a presence to be known.
And how many guys are going to commit to the flight for this 5% chance or 1%, whatever it is, to get through a Monday, right? To fly over and stay in Hawaii.
I'll tell you who it is. It's all the guys that are active in the PGA Tour pension plan that are now playing Mondays. Those are the guys.
That's true. Sawada is fourth PGA Tour starts. I think Andy
Ogletree got in. USAM champ earning his way in. But this is the third thing to watch this week is the start of 2022 for most guys. You see a lot of the rookies, a lot of people tune out during the fall. If you don't tune out during the fall, this is a great time to see some of the new young players.
Davis Riley, Grayson Sigg. I was going through the whole tee sheet.
Cameron Young.
Yeah.
Chad Ramey, Nick Hardy, Illinois' finest, University of Illinois alum. You know, joins the great pipeline with the Belgian Waffles, Dietrich and Peters, and, you know, lots of great Illini golfers.
Would you put Camilo Villegas in the Cameron zone?
Is that...
No. Is that reaching? I'm just looking. There's, I think, five Camerons in this field. So it's just Cameron Young expanded.
Is Camilo Spanish for Cameron?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think then you're reaching. If it was Andy zone and it was Andres, like, I'd give it to you. But
are you disappointed, Bryson DeBoer? That seemed to be the main event that people were fired up about. To see where he would. I wonder if they're going to create more internal OB like they did last year. You know,
I was disappointed. How could you not be disappointed?
He was supposed to have press availability for the Saudi International the same day, too, and they had to cancel that, and they changed that around, and the same day he WD'd from Sony. I don't know what's going on with the thick boy, but that would have been fun to watch. Too bad. That's it. That's all I got for schedule
you know,
of the week.
Stu is over there. Stu Sink still, and Reagan's still on the bag.
Cares.
I think Reagan's smart for riding it out. I would do the same. Wouldn't you?
Sure. Yeah.
If you're a 22-year-old kid and your dad's on tour, you could go caddy for him.
Is he 22 or older?
I think he's fresh out of college.
Okay. Okay. That may be
Wouldn't
true.
You do that?
Yes.
I think that, like, getting right into the workforce is overrated. Way overrated.
No, it's completely overrated. Because then all it does is promote you to get to continue in the workforce.
That's
and you
the
need
thing.
Like you need a couple years out. Once you're in, you're like, yeah, you gotta start thinking about. You don't get a chance to make mistakes, right? It's like you gotta go out and just screw around for a little bit.
I mean, I made a lot of mistakes in my first job.
That's true.
I got into that workforce and made some mistakes. Thankfully, I was in a position where I could make a lot of mistakes.
There you go. All right, that does it for our schedule for the week. Let's go to...
Hey,
one
other thing. You know, Charles Howell, this event, Charles Howell, it's just something to watch. The guy's always in the mix. This guy, I'd love to know,
money earner there?
It has to be close. He's made so much money at this thing. So that's just always something fun to watch for the Sony. It's just, you know, what does Charles Howell do, you know?
Yep.
I'm also interested to see if we see like another Aussie heavy leaderboard with it in this is why we need a resident stats guy. That's why we need somebody doing the numbers. But is there a higher correlation to Aussie success in Hawaii than you know continental U.S.?
Cam Smith was kind of talking about that, right? Or Leishman, one of those guys, where they were hey, you're coming like from Australia. It's easier travel for a lot of them. They've been playing. It's been summer over there. Things like that. Obviously, conditions too. If it's windy,
you know,
things
what
like that.
We should get Cam Smith back on here to talk about transitioning hemispheres.
Bud Martin will let us. It might get in our ass if we start talking about anything that's not, you know.
I'd really like to know. That's information I'd like to know. Is it tough shuffling between hemispheres? Is it better or worse than the time zone?
Is that a double hemisphere switch?
What do you mean?
East to west, north to south.
What's the line of
longitude?
No,
latitude?
but what's what? The what is it? The prime meridian? That's the vertical line.
I'm going to Google this before I really make an ass.
You know, you
myself.
Got the...
Yeah, the prime meridian.
Prime meridian. Yeah. And then you got the equator, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the prime meridian? The prime meridian's in... Is that in the U.S.? I feel like it's in the U.S.
Looks like it's in Africa, part of it. And then it's got to come around to the other... Come over the top and down the other side. I don't know. I'm looking at a two-dimensional figure on Google. All right, let's go on to news. We'll get Cam Smith on to sort that all out for us. I'm sure he'd like that as much as he liked your fruit question and whatever else we threw him that he just...
He's a top... Is he top 10 in the world now?
Close.
Hey, how about that? The top 10 player in the world came on the shotgun start. We should market that.
Sure.
Number 10.
This interview.
He's number 10.
Dour Cam Smith.
We can now say we've had top 10 players in the world on the podcast.
Who else have we had? Harry Higgs?
We were first on Higgs. We were first to check into Higgs Hotel.
Yeah. A lot of people started squeezing that, you know.
It's a catnip machine.
That's
all credit to him for being a catnip machine.
He's good. He's interesting. Yeah. All right, news. We'll begin with Tom Watson is becoming an honorary starter. He's joining Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus at Augusta National this year. Seems like that will probably continue. That will be a role of his. I don't have any grand...
What about Wayne Player?
I mean, I wonder. I saw Wayne was in the Christmas image and stuff. Gary was tweeting out things like that. I mean, that'd be really ballsy if they brought him back for this.
What people are more interested in is what
it's
about
like
Wayne?
Gary having a stare contest with the green coats. I don't know, but yeah, Watson. I mean,
I'm
the Masters is the
it.
Only event where this like becomes like a big news thing. I guess it's January, but people were into this. I think it's, you know, it's a change. This. We had a Masters fact of the day where this thing used to be so informal. They would just get in carts and go play 9 holes, 10 holes, 12 holes, and quit, right? They'd hop in carts. And now it's like this grand thing, this honor where you have to announce it in advance and people speculate on who could be next and all that.
Listen,
stuff.
Listen, to run a successful business, you can't be married to one idea. You got to be able to...
Convention, sure.
Yeah, you got to sure. be able to... The Masters have... They've adapted. Like, I think that's one of the underrated things about the Masters in general is just how... Like, they've maneuvered and adapted over the years. Like, there are some dark spots, but, like, you know, now shifting to being where, like, you know, they're, like, on the forefront of, like, thinking with golf and inclusion in a way with their tournaments. Not maybe not the forefront, but, like, they've gone from, like, you know, I think in a way it's kind of interesting how they've evolved as a tournament. Just the whole... evolution of the Masters is a really interesting topic to look at because there, you know, it's and why it's interesting is because there's highs and lows, you know, right. And I think right. like with like the Asian game, you know, it with Hideki winning was like a triumph of the last decade, you know, of, sure. of the direction sure. they've gone, and Anwa sure. obviously included in that.
But there's so many events. PGA Tour, FedEx Cup, Comcast Business, that would just kill for the coverage. That announcement of another, you know, honorary starter got.
But and this
the
gets news more coverage than the John Deere gets is its entire lifespan right. of its tournament, really. You know?
It's just become a big part of the week. So people are into it. Tom Watson, that's fitting. Makes sense. All right. And then last but certainly not least, sad note. Tim Rosefort passed. This was obviously major, probably the major news of the day. Obviously not good news. Rosefort had Alzheimer's. He left the air, I don't know when, 2020, end of 2019.
2 years ago or so.
And so it was obviously precipitous Alzheimer's, quick, early onset. Terrible, terrible news. Obviously, it dominated sort of golf Twitter, personalities, media. There was some really poignant stuff written by Jaime Diaz. Rich Lerner had an essay that was really good. Those who knew him best, a lot of people relaying their own personal interaction. And the theme was just like somebody who was super kind and encouraging. I tweeted something about how, you know, I encountered him like in their newsroom and Golf Channel. And I was down there early on and he was just, you know, he was like a legend, right? You see him on TV growing up. He's been so much a part of all these live froms, right? Why mm-hmm. we've loved live from the last, like, part of these majors, part of the player, like all these events, he was like a part of your experiencing of it, at least in our age group. And, you know, when I met him, he was just so kind to me and easy and encouraging. And he was like that in press tents. I didn't know him well. Didn't know him well at all. And, you know, read Jaime Diaz and listen to Golf Channel people and Golf Digest folks. They pen some of their recollections. They knew him best. But I think the thing that strikes me is like just that he was kind to younger up and comers, to other people, you know, other people who weren't maybe as high up on the run as he was.
I mean, an entire generation of golf fans, like if you're a fan of golf, you've interacted with a piece of Tim Rosefort's writing, a segment on Golf Channel. I mean, he's one of the titans. And, you know, he was the insider. He was the guy yeah. that just was connected and you know, just was... He's a guy that, like, I grew up... Like, you think about golf, like, you think about a few writers, like Jaime Diaz... Jaime Diaz, Michael Bamberger, and Tim Rosefort were like, you know, three of the biggest golf writers for, you know.
And the one thing I would put him in that Jaime category in terms of like kindness, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you kind of make it or whatever, there's maybe a tendency to relax and maybe not be as competitive. But a lot of people who make it are assholes, are not kind and don't have the time for you. Like that's not true of most people, right? And Jaime, like, will talk to you, will hang out with you, will be interested in you, what, like everyone, it's not you or me, like everyone. And he's done everything. And Tim Rosefort was that same way. Like just because like a lot of people who make it just don't want to be bothered, right? And don't want to have time and aren't kind in the way that Rosefort was and then the way that Jaime is. And that I think of them in that same regard. So same way. All right, that does it. We'll be back Friday with, I don't know, maybe a flashback, a little Sony Open check-in, see how Leishman's batting it around, see if Jerry Kelly's going to make the cut so we can have that enjoyable watch all weekend. Everyone have a good Wednesday, Hump Day Junior. Someone said they're calling Tuesday Hump Day Junior now. Someone sent us that clip. It's terrible.
I mean, I'm in on it. I'm in on everything like that now, you know?
I know you are. All right. Enjoy your Wednesdays. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll be back Friday.